Rock Talk with Dominic Forbes.
This week I'm joined by Richie Blackmore. One of the most notorious events involving Deep Purple was 1974's California Jam.
John Coletta, the management, called me up 6 months before that festival and said, they want you to do a California Jam. I said, no thanks, I'm not interested in any more festivals. They're a nightmare. They always will be. Nothing ever goes right. You're always on late or early, or the billing is all wrong. It's just awful. He said, well, I spoke to the rest of the band, and they want to do it. It's just you. I'm just trying to get your okay. I said, well, I'll call you back on that. So I called the rest of the band. And I said, has John Coletta called you up? And they go, no. So I knew what he was up to. So he called me back again. So what do you think? I said, well, for a start, the band has not okayed it. They don't know what you're talking about. You're lying. Okay. I said, you know what? I might do it, but we have to write down all these conditions, because I'm tired of doing festivals. We'd done about 8 before that, and they were always a nightmare. I said, I do not want this to happen again. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it under our conditions. Absolutely, whatever you say, no problem. We're topping, you know, along with ELP. I said, okay, well, these are the conditions, and I wrote down. The main condition is that we go on at dusk, the first band to go on with lights. So, you know, we're not going on last, you know, like 3 in the morning. We're going to go on at dusk, which is 9 o'clock, around there. And they said, we'll be the first band with lights, because that's important. It's a subliminal thing. People see lights and they go, I really like this band compared to the rest of them. So I insisted on that. And he said, absolutely no problem. The next day, I got there, I think at 5 or 6 o'clock, flown in by helicopter, because there's so many people. And I was going to relax, have a few drinks, just tune up and play a few things to do with the guitar. Next minute, I think it was about 6:30, knock on the caravan door. Right, you're on. I went, we're not on. It's broad daylight, you know, that's the whole point. It's got to be dusk and dark, going dark. First. No, you've got to get on, you've got to get on. What do you mean, we've got to get on? Who's saying we've got to get on? And then, you know, the management came. Come on, ABC, they're threatening to pull the show. If you don't get on, they're just going to you know, carry on with the other bands, you know. Then they're going to throw you off the show. And I said, well, they'll throw us off the show. You know how much emphasis I put into saying it's got to be dusk. That's 3 hours from now. And they're like, no, you've got to go on, you've got to go on. I said, no, stuff it. And I closed the door and bolted it. So for the next hour, there's nothing but hammering on the door. You've got to come on, you've got to come on, you've got to get on. I'm seething at this point because the rest of the band going, yeah, okay, come on, let's just go on. Let's get on and get it over with. And I'm like, no, that's absolutely not right. You know, with all the fuss that what I put into, you know, going back 6 months previously and telling Colette, it went nowhere. Obviously, he didn't tell anybody. So I was going, nope, well, they're going to throw us off. I said, throw us off the show. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I am not going on now at this point. And then I had the band coming to my caravan. We were the little caravans. Come on, Rich, let's just go on. You know, it's too much aggravation. I'm going, no, come on. You've got to stick to your guns. You can't have them just tell us when to go on when we've made it a big thing in the contract. It was such a big deal. People were yelling and screaming and threatening this and threatening that. And I just get the door bolted and I'd have a few drinks playing the guitar. I was not going to go on. And I thought, that's it. We're going to be thrown off the show. But, you know, principle here. There was about 2 hours of no bands and nothing. I'm like, it's too bad. I didn't even have my stage clothes. I didn't even have anything because I'd left them at the hotel and they were coming later. It was just a principle. I was going, I am not going on until, you know, later.
Yeah!
This is Rock Talk. This week I'm joined by Richie Blackmore. Here's Richie talking about Deep Purple's California Jam set.
So I managed to pull it off until it was about like 8:15, something like that. And it was just to start to get dark. Went on stage and I was so angry, you know, with this whole... I was angry that the band didn't back me up. They'd all flaked and gone, oh, come on, let's just go on, let's forget the, you know. No. You've got a piano, a revolving piano in front of it. This whole thing is geared towards aggravation. And you're talking about 270,000 people now. And so I went to my roadie. I said, what I'm going to do is blow up the amplifiers. I said, what I want you to do is cover the amplifiers in petrol. I'll go across one side of the stage, you douse my marshals, dummy marshals, with petrol. And then I'll come back and I'll throw a lighter at them, you know. And of course, one roadie went, I'm not doing that. And he ran away. So my other roadie went, I'll do it. I said, right. I went across the other side of the stage doing the freak out part. And I'm watching them dousing the marshal amps with the petrol. Well, you couldn't see it. Everybody's watching me under a spotlight, and I'm playing, waiting for the okay from the roadie. And I broke the guitar up, and I think I set fire to the guitar. Then I got the guitar and threw it at the amplifier, knowing it'd explode and catch fire. Of course, it did more than that. It exploded and, like, blew a hole in the stage. Pace's glasses got blown off. He can't see anything. It made some cameraman temporarily deaf. It looked great, but it was just overkill. I didn't realize it was going to just explode. It was supposed to catch fire, but it just went boom. Meanwhile, the management is arguing with ABC in the control booth, and they're going, you're never going to work for us again. You've taken 2 hours again on stage. And he's looking at the monitor. So he's now standing in front of the TV monitor so that they wouldn't see what had just happened, you know. And with that, you know, we went on with the show and finished. That was the last encore. And then we were told, quick, get off stage, get the police are on their way. And we had a helicopter. We were bundled into the helicopter and flown out. The police were coming to arrest us for blowing up the stage, being dangerous to all the, you know, the people, what have you. You know, it worked. The idea was to upstage ELP. Which I think we did.
Tell us about your experience working with Graham Bonnet. He replaced Ronnie James Dio, but did you not at some times find his image troublesome?
I said, Graham, you know, our audience expects you to be a bit more, you know, not shaved and a bit long hair, kind of a bit more dirty. Yeah, well, I used to have long hair, but I cut it because I don't want it. Yeah, but, you know, our audience doesn't want that Las Vegas style lame jacket and smooth hair. They want a rough-looking guy. If we let him grow his hair, at least that'll get longer for the first night in Newcastle, which is about 3 months away. I thought, at least we can get his hair to his collar, you know, or something, you know, and rough him up a bit. And he kept threatening to have his hair cut, but really short. And we go, that's not going to work with the fans. In 79, 80, everybody was like, got a look, long hair, rough, whatever. We got Colin Hart to room next to him, and I said, you make sure he doesn't leave his room. He might go and get his hair cut. You know, and it's just getting kind of longer now. He's looking a bit rough and he looks more, you know, for our audience. Colin goes, leave it to me. He won't get past me. Because he kept his door open and he was right next to Graham. So what happens is Colin calls me up. Oh, no, guess what? I went, what? And he goes, he got out the back window, got into a taxi and has had his hair cut. And I went, ah, you know, I was seething at the time. It was the whole principle of the thing. It doesn't matter if you're losing your hair or whatever. He went out and purposely shaved his hair. We told him 1,000 times, do not cut your hair. Just let it grow and be natural. And I think you'll be accepted by the fans because then you'll look rough. Nope, went out, came back. Of course, he looked ridiculous. On stage that night, I was seriously contemplating hitting him over the head with my guitar. He was singing to the audience and doing his bit, and I saw the back of the shaved neck. I'm just going to put my guitar across his head. I really was, like, so tempted just to take it off and go, whack, because he'd done it deliberately out of contempt. after that, there was no communication. It was total breakdown. It was like, you're in another world.
Richie, what would you say were your favourite Deep Purple albums?
My favourites were Deep Purple and Rock, Machine Head, then you've got Slaves and Masters, and Burn. A lot of the English people, the Europeans, hated Joe because he was a bit, you know, a bit pansy-ous on stage. We used to call him Judy Garland. You know? He would lay there on stage. Don't do that to our audience because they want to see you grooving and grinding. Slaves and Masters I thought was great.
We'll be right back.
Many thanks to Richie Blackmore for joining me on this week's edition of Rock Talk. I'm Dominic Forbes. This has been Rock Talk.